Well, thank you, worship team. Take your Bibles, find 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And towards the end of the sermon, it's going to culminate with us sharing in communion and the Lord's Supper together. And today I want to talk with you about in our series Transformed, about how you've been transformed to defeat temptation. And even when it comes to the Lord's Supper, a lot of us, when we think about celebrating the Lord's Supper and what Jesus has done for us, we don't usually think about temptation. We think about how Jesus paid for our sins and how he defeated sin and death. But really also today, by the end of the sermon, I hope you'll always look at the Lord's Supper and communion in an additional facet, that we also celebrate how Jesus gives us the ability through his power and strength, through his Holy Spirit, to defeat temptation in our lives. You know, temptation is a very, very real threat to us. It's a real threat to us no matter what our age is, no matter what different stage of life we may find ourselves in. Some have said, for instance, when you're in your youth, and I was talking about this burden that God's kind of given me for our children and for our youth and reaching that generation, a lot of folks will say, well, particularly in their youth, folks struggle against struggle with their physical flesh and the physical body and all the youthful lusts therein. And then some say around middle age, whatever middle age is, you know, somewhere in kind of the midst of the career, folks begin to really have kind of that battle that involves kind of their spiritual desires and what's going to kind of really have the first place in their life. And they begin to wrestle with thoughts of, you know, satisfaction and have you know, do we have this and do I have that, and trying to kind of, you know, fill in all the gaps with all the different things they see out there that they might would want to have as part of their life experience. And then what about folks kind of on the older end, in the senior adult years? And there, what I have seen in just knowing a lot of folks that are my elders, and as I even said in the earlier prayer time, praying for the next generation, I've always been really encouraged by my elders. You know, you'll meet some young students, and sometimes they'll have kind of different expressions. Even some churches, it'll almost be like, well, you got the youth over here, and you got older folks over here. Honestly, that was never my experience. I was always blessed with some good relationships with my elders. In fact, the church that I was the youth pastor at for the longest, man, I went into a church and it was like they had a history of like the youth pastor and the youth ministry was kind of almost like at odds with the older folks in the church. And we were really blessed with turning that around. And really, I had no bigger crowd of cheerleaders than this huge contingent of older brothers and sisters in Christ. But a challenge that I saw at times some of them wrestle with were just kind of, they were tempted sometimes just to kind of maybe be anxious or scared. Is my retirement money gonna be enough? If, you know, what about this disease I just heard of? And so I'm just saying all this to say we all battle temptations, no matter how old, no matter what your wealth status is, no matter race or what have you. We all battle temptation. And there's different ways folks respond to it. Some people say, well, you just got to accept it. It's just how we're wired. It's just the way we are as people. It's just human nature. I mean, after all, you know, men and women, you're just mammals. You're part of the animal kingdom. I mean, you know, that's what they teach in science class a lot of times. You know, so that's just how you are. You know, you got wild oats. They got to be sowed, all this business, right? So some say just accept it. And that's what you see a lot in culture. I mean, I don't want to pick on politicians, but that's where I grow tired of seeing folks just kind of say, well, it's just the way it is, and that's just the way I'm going to live. And then they'll kind of roll out that kind of patented kind of I'm sorry speech, you know, and they kind of give you that spiel. So some just say, well, accept it. It's just the way we are. Some people say, well, you got to fight it. You just fight it on your own, in your own strength. I don't think that's the answer either. I don't think it's fighting it in your own strength. I think the answer comes in overcoming it with Christ's help. And that's why today I want you to see two, I believe, of the most encouraging verses in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Today I want you to see three truths about temptation from these two verses. So stand with me in honor of God's word. I want to read verse 12 and verse 13 for 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then I'm going to really zero in on these and share with you these three truths. And I hope this is going to be a very practical well-taken message today. That would be my prayer. Verse 12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. By the way, the Bible says stuff like that all over the place. Warnings. Hey, pay attention, because you might think this doesn't apply to you. You might think this won't affect you. You might think that you're beyond being tempted, but you better watch out, because you can. This is a warning. Verse 13 then gives us the good news. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it, that you can stand up against it in the face of it. Powerful, powerful words. Let's pray and ask God to help us take this home today. Lord, thank You for Your Scripture. Thank You for the encouragement. Thank You for Your good news. And Lord, it is my simple prayer today that You would simply take these two verses, help them to make sense and apply them to our lives today for Your glory, God. I know You can do this by Your grace and by Your power. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be seated and let's get after this. Verse 12. Verse 12 tells us this truth about temptation, that we should expect it. You see, we should expect temptation. Mark it down. Write it down. Expect temptation. Verse 12 sounds that warning. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. You think, well, I can't be tempted. I'm beyond being tempted. I'm too old to be tempted. It's not relevant to me anymore. I'm telling you, you should expect temptation. Let me kind of give you a definition. Temptation is something that entices. It persuades or it provokes you to run the risk. Another definition is like this. Temptation is the devil trying to get you to fulfill a natural God-given desire or drive in the wrong way. Temptation is trying to get you to get to the wrong destination oftentimes, driving the wrong way down the street, all right? Temptation, and we should expect it. A lot of folks will say, well, I'm a believer in Jesus now. I don't guess I'm going to encounter any temptation. Any of you in this room who've been a believer for very long either know that statement isn't true, or you must think there's something majorly wrong with you, because I'm sure you have still encountered temptation. I'm telling you, the first truth here the Apostle Paul wants us to know is we should expect it. You should expect temptation. Even as Christians, we should expect it. When you become a Christian, understand this. Temptation is not removed. It's not removed from your life. In fact, it can actually become worse. I think temptation can actually become worse for you as a follower of Christ, because here's the reality. As a believer in Jesus, the Bible tells us you have become a friend of God. Well, let me tell you what that makes you. Being a friend of God, the Bible teaches us, makes you an enemy of the evil one. All right? This is what happens. And oftentimes it can happen with folks attempting to love Jesus and serve the Lord and raise their families. And that's what will get our attention. We'll be like, well, I just heard about what's going on with so-and-so. You know? And it can discourage us. Understand this. Temptation is still a very real threat to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Here's what happens as a follower of Jesus. You have a big target on you, friend. You got a target on you, and all the forces of the evil one and hell itself oftentimes are zeroed in on you. You are on the most wanted list. So I'm telling you, expect it. Expect temptation. It's not removed because you're a Christian, and it's not repelled either. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not temptation repellent, like you spray on mosquito repellent, you know? The Holy Spirit is not temptation repellent. The Holy Spirit empowers you and protects you to resist the temptation. It doesn't make it just non-existent. The strongest Christian in this room can have the legs knocked out from under him by the riptide of temptation. It's not repelled, and it's not reduced. No matter how much you know about the Lord, or how much you grow in the Lord, you will still face temptations as long as you live. Listen, to be tempted is neither a flaw nor a failure, all right? Temptation is to be expected. I remember this retired pastor, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. I met him when I went to serve as a student pastor at our church in Virginia Beach. And y'all have heard me at times reference this church. It's the church where Derek was raised, and that's when I met him when he was a teenager. But our associate pastor was named Mark Stone. In fact, our son, Mark, is named for Mark Stone. And Mark went on to be with the Lord right before this church was started. And he would have, so often I've thought how he would have loved to have visited here. He would have loved to have come here. He would have loved to have seen what God has done here in the past 9 years in your lives. He would have loved going to church here, by the way. He would have loved the spirit and the worship and your heart for the Word of God and your heart for the community and your heart for one another. He would have loved that. But when I met Mark at this point in his life was an older gentleman, retired, and he got around the church building in one of those little rascal carts, you know, those little motorized like wheelchairs. When he was in seminary, he was almost burnt to death, and so he still had obviously the scars, and one of his arms was kind of mangled from that. He had battled heart disease. He was dealing with lupus at this point in his life. But Brother Mark, about half time in the week, about part time, he would come in, and his office was right next to mine. Here I am, right out of seminary, and here is Mark, kind of in the latter part of his ministry. But Brother Mark had just a spirit of God all over. I mean, if you think of man of God, this guy's got to be on the list. I've got a picture of him in my office, just to remind me of some of the men of God who were cheering me on from heaven, all right? And Mark is, I believe, one of those guys. Well, I remember I asked Mark one day. Now, we all lived down at Virginia Beach, and he had lived there. He pastored one of the largest churches in Virginia. He was a very well-known evangelist, but now he's retired. And I asked him, I said, Brother Mark, let me just ask you about temptation. When do you get to the point in life when it's no longer really, you're not really tempted that much? But he said, I'll let you know when I get there. And he told me something that just stuck, and you had to kind of know, Mark Stone. Mark had this wit about him, this sense of humor, kind of just this, not really sarcasm, but just this, he would just tell it like it is, all right? He would just tell you straight. He said, and he had this deep baritone voice. I remember he said, Brian, still when I take this little rascal cart and I go down on the boardwalk to maybe eat me some seafood and there are folks out there sunbathing or they're playing at the beach, I still have to be careful where my eyes go because I can still be tempted. Now, I'll be honest with you. When it comes to expecting temptation, I went to the beach this summer, and there'll be some things, I'll tell you straight up, there's things I've seen at the beach, they don't tempt me at all. I just want you to know, all right? All right? But there are things that'll tempt you. And men especially, I want to just encourage you to open your eyes, not to the temptation, but to the truth of what God's Word is warning us about here. We need to expect temptation. I came across the following prayer, and it really, really spoke to me. Listen, maybe you've heard it before. So far today, dear Lord, I'm doing all right. I've not gossiped. I've not lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I've not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. But in a minute, I'm going to get out of bed, and I think I'm going to really need your help. I'm telling you, folks, expect temptations in life. You know, Jesus himself faced temptation. If temptation, I mean, is a sin, then Jesus is a sinner, but he isn't. He was tempted, yet the Bible tells us he didn't sin. So that tells us right there that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who we're going to remember in just a few moments in the Lord's Supper, he has the victory over temptation itself, but you better expect it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but listen, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he is without sin. So expect it, but don't think you got to give in to it. Now, number two, the second truth is this. The Bible says in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. That tells you right there that you're going to experience temptation. Now, we should expect it, and we're going to experience it. It says that it's a common experience. Now, what this means here is all of us have something in common here this morning. No matter what your race, no matter what your income, no matter what your age, the Bible tells us that we have in common this experience of temptation. But the Bible gives us this word of encouragement. It is a common experience, but listen to me, friend. It is a controlled experience. The Bible says God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, beyond what you can bear. Don't miss that phrase. Might underline it. God is faithful. Don't ever miss where God shows up in the Scripture. God, in the midst of talking about these temptations, don't miss the middle phrase right there that I'm teaching today. God is faithful. You know, I talked about reaching and raising up the next generation for Christ. By the way, men, I didn't mention this to y'all today. We got a great word of encouragement. We have been negotiating with the movie theaters up at Commonwealth 20 to buy out one of the theaters when the new movie Courageous comes out. The movie Courageous, the folks did Fireproof and Facing the Giants, and we are renting almost a 300-seat theater at the 710 show Saturday, October 1st. That's the night after opening night, and we're going to be getting information to you about how we can invite others, get men and women there, invite folks from the community. And I say that to say, listen, there are a lot of ways that we're wanting to encourage men and women. But I mentioned that next generation coming along. You know what? We need to get embedded in the children and youth of this church something that we need to remember as men and women too, but especially teach it to them when they're young. That simple three-word phrase I just read, God is faithful. You're sitting there and you're teaching the Bible to a group of five-year-olds or six-year-olds or whatever, and you're sitting there and you're teaching them about the greatness of God and how God is faithful, and you may be wondering, is this going anywhere? This is too deep for them. Listen, at that point in their life, they may have never really come up against that much yet in their young life that's challenging their concept of who God is and how big they need God to be, but boy, they will, won't they? And you know that because you've lived it. You've gained some wisdom. You've got some maturity. But I tell you what my kids need. My kids need to hear folks say and to see folks live out phrases like the Bible teaches us, God is faithful. They need to know that because they're going to face temptations. You know they will because you faced them where it's real. And they need to know, though, that it's controlled, that God is bigger than the temptation. You know, oftentimes we like to use the devil as our scapegoat. We'll say, well, the devil made me do it. Listen. As a believer in Christ, the evil one can't make you sin. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever think that Jesus and the evil one are somehow like, you know, you got like the hero and you got the villain. They're not even close to being on the same level. Jesus, Almighty God, is so much bigger and more powerful and more present than the evil one. You know, the evil one, the Bible never tells us that the evil one can be in all places at the same time. Almighty God can. The Bible never tells us that the evil one has all power. The Bible tells us he's a liar and that he's powerful, but he doesn't have all power. He's not as powerful as Almighty God. He's not all-knowing. Almighty God is. I'm telling you, expect temptation. You're going to experience temptation, but I want you to be encouraged today to know this final truth. And it's because God is faithful to us. There is an escape. Oh, we're going to experience it. We should expect it, but we can escape temptation. Look at the last part of the phrase. It says, but with the temptation, He, referring to your faithful God, will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, let me tell you what the word escape means. The picture here is imagine kind of a mountain scene, kind of where there's different caves and kind of different canyons, so to speak. The picture here is of an army being chased into kind of the corner of a canyon. And they don't think there's any way out of that canyon or that cave. They're just surrounded by these huge mountains. But all of a sudden, they see a glimmer of light. And they notice that there is a small pathway leading them out. That's the picture here. There are times where we'll face temptation and it'll just seem like it's so much bigger than us, that we are so weak, that we just can't get past it, that we're just going to have to give in to it. Well, listen, when we say that temptation is too big for us to get away from, you know what I'm doing when I say that? I am saying either the Bible isn't true or God's a liar. So the Bible's telling me that back in 1990 when I was in college and I gave in to that temptation, the Bible's telling me that as a believer in Jesus, all along there was a way of escape. Yep, that's what I'm saying. You're saying, you mean last week when I faced that temptation and I gave in to it, you're telling me that the Bible says that the faithful God Almighty gave me a way of escape? Yep, that's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God is saying, the Bible. I'm telling you, the truth of the matter is, there is a way of escape. That is incredibly good news. I think about some of my younger friends in this church family, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them, they're loading up this week. They're getting ready to go to college. Some of them went back to school last week. And I think about the temptations they'll face. I want to encourage your hearts and souls today. Send them a copy of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Say, listen, your God is faithful. That God that you were taught about in that children's Sunday school class, that God that you were taught about in that youth group, that God that you sang about, the God that you served, the God that you have yielded your life to, that God will give you the way of escape. This verse ought to be highlighted in every single Bible in this room. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It's the picture of an army surrounded, and isn't that how temptation will make you feel sometimes? I just got to give up and give in. There's always a light that'll get you out. You know, Chuck Swindoll said it like this. He said, there's three great pieces of advice to deal with temptation. You might just kind of fill these in your blanks. He said, first of all, you got to expect it. You got to expect it. Number two, he said, you got to detect it. And number three, you got to reject it. You see, this is how temptation gets us into the sin. Listen, sin is an undetected weakness plus an unexpected opportunity plus an unprotected life. There's a little prayer. I think this is on the front of your program that you got on the way in today. I like this little prayer. Lord, when there is opportunity to take away my... Well, let me read it again. Lord, when there is opportunity, take away my inclination. When I have inclination, take away my opportunity. Did you get that? Well, that's a great simple prayer right there. Now let me give you just kind of some things that aren't filling the blanks, just some practical ways of escape. First of all, let me encourage you to counteract your natural focus. Job in chapter 31, verse 1 of the book of Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not, some translations say, look lustfully upon a girl or a young woman. I think that sounds very preachery, doesn't it? Do not, thou shalt not look lustfully upon a young maiden. You know, that, and you're like, I got that, no problem. Let me tell you what the language of the Bible literally translates, and the English Standard Version puts it this way in a very, very straight away. It says, listen, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to stare or gaze at a girl. And I know, men, let me just talk to you for a second, because studies show, and I think there is some shift going, because you see a lot of marketing now being geared towards females and kind of the lust of the eyes, but that's been a big deal for dudes for a long, long time. You know, physiologists and doctors and all the folks that just study kind of, you know, people in general have said that the eyes for men is just the doorway in to their heart and soul. And this is how guys will be. Guys will be like, well, look, you know, hey, I know I'm married. I'm not buying anything. I'm just walking down the produce aisle. I'm just looking at the, you know. It's, listen, that is garbage, man. That is not a sound way to live. You got to counteract your natural focus. You know what it's saying right here? It's saying, don't you gaze or don't you stare. Listen, you can't necessarily help it. If you walk around, you walk into a room or you turn a corner and boom, all of a sudden, there you are, okay? And something's right there in your eyes. But you know what? We can flat not stare. And we cannot gaze. Get the picture. It is staring. It's ogling. It's gazing. This is practical advice for our young men as well. And ought not to be lost on the ladies either. You got to counteract the natural focus. Number two, I wrote this down. This is another practical piece of escape advice here. Guard your leisure time. This is what I'm saying. You got to be careful what you're doing with that downtime. And, you know, get yourself active in good, helpful activity. All right? You got to guard your leisure time. You know, listen, you know how it used to be, man. You wanted to get like something with dirty pictures in it. This is how it used to have to go, kids. What you had to do is you had to go into a bookstore or a drugstore, and you had to walk up to the counter, and you had to ask that man or that woman. You had to ask them for this magazine behind the counter. You had to walk in and say, "I want that magazine right there." Excuse me, I didn't hear you. You want what? I want that magazine on the third shelf. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. I want that magazine right there. You want what? I want that magazine right up there. Right up, yeah. You know what happens now? Oh, you just pull out the PDA or the iPhone. I'm just kicking back, man. I'm just chilling. I'm just relaxing. I'm just unwinding. I'm not doing any damage. I'm not hurting anybody. Folks, I'm telling you, you got to guard your leisure time. Man, screen your close companions. What do I mean by that? I mean you got to watch out with who has that ultimate close friendship influence over your life. I like this little thought here. Soar like an eagle. They fly with a few others, not a flock. You've got to watch the close companions. And then number four, if you do happen to stumble into a tempting situation, look, bottom line is get out of it immediately. Now, you're going to face, the Bible tells us, kind of categorizes temptation and sources of temptation into three big categories. One is simply called in the Bible the world. And that's like all the stuff out there that gets in your face. All the stuff that comes into the house via the technology. All the stuff you see as you go down the road, as you walk through the mall. How do you counteract just what I'll call the world and all that it is? One simple word, faith. You see, you have to take what will be your natural inclination to love and desire the world, and you've got to trade that in for a love and desire for the Lord. Faith, I call it faith. It's coming to begin to put your faith in the things of God more than the desires of this world. What about the flesh? The Bible talks about your flesh. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, it tells us to flee youthful lusts. Here's how you do it. If you kind of deal with the world by faith, you deal with your flesh like this. You flee. Mark Twain once said, there are several good protections against temptation, but the surest is cowardice. Men and women, there ought to be certain situations that just absolutely scare you to death, that make you just shake in your boots, and you're like, God, I won't even go near that. I think about Joseph in Genesis 39. Man, he ran from the temptation that Potiphar's wife offered him. Proverbs 16:17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Well, what about the enemy of the devil? Well, there the Bible actually tells you to fight. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we are in a spiritual war. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible tells us that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So today, I want you to be encouraged by the reality that even though you may experience temptation, even though you ought to expect it, you can escape it. That's what we're going to focus in on. As we share the Lord's Supper today, I want to ask the gentleman helping serve today, if you'll come forward, if you're helping with the Lord's Supper. And if you're here today and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to participate in communion. What we'll do is we're going to pass out the unleavened bread, the small cracker first, and we'll wait till all have received it, then we'll share in that. And as you get that little cracker, I want to ask you, they're just going to play some instrumental music. I want to ask you just to be in prayer and to ask God just to help this scripture to sink in today, that you've been transformed by God's grace to defeat temptation, all right? And you just be prayerful about that. Maybe there's a temptation and you're just, you know, kind of encouraging your life. Just pray and say, oh God, thank you for this word of encouragement. Thank you that I can escape it. Maybe your temptation has led to acting it out into some sin there. I just want to remind you of a verse of Scripture that I would want every child here to learn at a young age. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't ever forget the good news of God's Word, friend. Make that your prayer today. God has not given up on you. Don't you give up on you. As you share in this Lord's Supper, you're going to take the cracker first, and you be prayerful. And then we'll share in the cup that reminds us of how Jesus shed His blood for our sins, and we'll share that together. And as we hold that, I want you to be thinking on and meditating on and praying on how much God has shown you His love. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of sin to save you from sin's penalty. We believe to save us ultimately from sin's presence, but to also save us from its power too, friend. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts to share in the Lord's Supper. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear gracious God, You are so faithful. Lord, I pray today that You will minister to our hearts and souls today. Lord, for those who need to be restored in their walk with You, Lord, I pray that they'll yield themselves to You, that they'll confess whatever sin might be there, and they'll experience Your restoration. Lord, I pray that we will simply make it our desire today to do Your will, to trust Your grace, and to lean upon Your power. Oh God, help us. We need Your help, Lord Jesus. We need Your help in the face of a multitude of temptations, the world, our own flesh, and the evil one. Oh God, give us faith. Help us to flee. And Lord, may we know that we can fight this spiritual warfare, not in our own strength, but in You, Jesus, who gives us strength. And how You fought temptation. You fought it with God's Word. So Lord, help us to hide Your Word in our hearts. Help us to hide Your Word in our hearts as we are in Bible study. Lord, help us to commit to teaching our children and youth the Scriptures. Lord, so they can hide God's Word in their hearts and souls, so they can fight the good fight. Oh God, help us in this, I pray, as we share in this communion and in Your supper, Lord Jesus. We give You thanks for paying for our sin, but also in giving us power in the face of temptation, that it can be defeated. Thank You, Lord Jesus.